This morning, just pray that you would be with us. Thank you that we can be here this morning, even though it's cold outside, we have a nice warm building that we can be in. Just pray that you would guide and direct us as we worship here together. Pray that you would be here with us, and pray that we could speak what you would have us to share. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this morning, we're going to look at, I recently heard a quote, and the quote was, sin is always aggressive. And it got me thinking about how sin is always fighting for a spot in our life. So, sin is aggressive. Are we fighting with it? And I think it's a very real thing in each one of our lives. So, we're going to look at some familiar verses. Here today, we're going to start off, we're going to have a couple here and a couple there, but we're going to start off in 1 Peter chapter 5, just a couple verses. Verses 8 and 9, it says, "Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Here, the author of the book describes sin as a roaring lion, always on the prowl. He's out there looking for anybody and everybody who's going to give him a foothold, and he is right there, ready to go. And verse 9 kind of plants the fact that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So that includes every one of us. Also jumping to Hebrews chapter 12 for one verse. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." This life is a race, and sin is a trap that is going to easily ensnare us, and hinder us, so we can't run for the Lord the way that we are called to run. And one more verse, Genesis 4, verse 7, also describing sin. Here is Cain and Abel, and God is talking to Cain. It says, "If thou doest well, thou shalt be accepted, and if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule into him." Also, sin is here, kind of saying is what we said earlier, but sin is at the door waiting for us. And we see, "It shall be to thee, unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule in him." When we give him, he takes a lot. So we have to be really aggressive in fighting sin, and I think, at least for me, and maybe for everybody, we find something in our lives that we realize that this is something that we need to take care of. And we get aggressive in fighting it. And we can do well because we are very purposeful in what we are doing to get our lives in the way that Christ wants us to. And with his help that we can. But we get there and we're like, "I got that conquered." And we just kind of sit back and relax. Next thing we know, just a little bit later, we're like, "Wow, I'm right back to where I started in the first place." And we realize what happens is we have dropped our guard. We thought we were all good. But sin is continually there. And when we let our guard down, even just a little, it can come right back. And we can be right back where we were without even realizing it quickly. Romans chapter 12, verses 11 through 16, Actually, maybe we'll start in 10. It says, "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, and mind not the high things, but condescend to men of lowly state. Be not wise in your own conceits." Verse 12, this whole thing here, if we look, it calls us not to let sin reign. We're not to be slothful in business. And verse 12 says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." And I think the last, continuing instant in prayer, is extremely important in our fight for having our lives right with the Lord, to be instant in prayer. When something comes along, we can drop what we're doing right there, and we can pray. And I think that's a very powerful tool in our walk with the Lord. And I think it's interesting, this is, you see a lot of people in the physical realm, they have fights and they do whatever, and they train really hard because they know that they want to win. We need to be like that in the spiritual realm as well, or be active in the spiritual. We need to be constantly practicing and preparing ourselves for what life can throw at us. James chapter 4. Verses 4 through 10, it says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain that the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee to you, from you." I know for me, this is a continual work. And sometimes it's a lot more continual than other times. But it's very important that we're submitted to God. And with his help, we can resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, a couple verses, verses 12 and 14, it says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what ye are able, but will with the temptation make also a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, flee from idolatry." It's kind of interesting. It says, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." It's kind of the same as getting comfortable with where we're at. And verse 13 has actually been an encouragement to me from time to time, knowing that God is faithful and he is not going to tempt us above what we are able. Doesn't really seem like it sometimes when we're in the midst of it. Doesn't seem like we're able to go through it. But we can't on our own, but with God's help, we can. And He has a way for us to be able to get out of it when we look to Him. Matthew chapter 5. Verses 29 and 30, familiar verses here. It says, "And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if the right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell." These verses here express just how seriously we really need to be taking this. Drastic measures here. I mean, we can't imagine chopping off our hand, but I mean, think of things in our lives, whether it's places we go or our phone or whatever it is, we can chop it right off. We don't need to have that temptation in our lives if that's what's causing us to trip up. We can cut it out, even if we look strange to the world around us. There's nothing wrong with taking extreme measures. And also in 1 Timothy 6, just a couple more verses, 11 and 12, says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, and lay hold on eternal life, wherefore thou art also called, and thou hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Here, he's also calling us to flee, but in these verses, he's giving us a whole list of things to pursue. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Those are things that I think every single one of us, I'm sure, would all like to say we could have more of in our lives. At least I would. And when we're fighting and we're trying to grow in these areas, we are looking to the Lord because we can't do these things on our own. And the harder we run to God, the less the world can fight towards us. And also, Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 10 through 18. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching therefore with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Again, reminding us that this is a spiritual battle against sin. And it gives us a list of the armor of God. And this is extremely important that we have this all. And I like how it always says at the end of it all, to pray. And I think often that's a big weapon in our lives that we don't often take. We don't use to its full capacity that we should. But just wanted to remind us all that God calls us to fight battle. And we can't be neutral in this. This we can't just sit back and say, we'll just go along with it. We're either on one side or the other, and I pray that each one of us is on the Lord's side, and we are actively looking to Him and fighting for His truth. So, God bless.